topic for the work session and the public hearing, which is the Glenwood amendments to the Eugene Springfield Public Facilities and Service Plan. And I need to provide a reminder that for anyone in the audience, that this work session is for discussion only. There won't be any decisions made. There won't be any votes taken. And so there is not an opportunity during this session for any public participation, but there will be an opportunity at our public hearing that's coming up at 7 o'clock. So with that, we'll turn it over to Mark. We have 30 minutes.
Welcome, Mr. Mo.
Good evening.
You can't talk about Glenwood without you being here.
Where are all the women at on our...
I know.
Come on, sit down. Tonight, we're going to be considering amendments to the Eugene Springfield Public Facilities and Services Plan. It's this document here. I think most of you by now have heard the word Metro Plan. It's a comprehensive plan that addresses all of the applicable statewide planning goals for, you know, cities. And one of those includes public infrastructure. This document here is that more detailed document that supplements the Metro Plan and is a subset of the Metro Plan that talks about infrastructure. And state law says that when we are looking ahead, we are supposed to plan for infrastructure that's needed to accommodate growth and development. And that doesn't mean that we have to include in this public facilities plan every little pipe, but there are some definitions of what is a significant infrastructure facility, and the ones that we're talking about tonight, we're adding 3 stormwater outfalls in Glenwood. We're adding we're actually relocating a substation that is already showing on the map from in the area of McVeigh Highway up to the I-5 freeway next to Williams Machine Company. And then we're looking at transmission lines that would connect that substation both down to Goshen, to the BPA substation, and also would basically connect Glenwood to the Laura Street substation, which is up north of Highway 126. So the nature of this document is that we identify stormwater facilities, sewer facilities, water facilities, and we kind of go above and beyond in the PFSP in that it includes electrical facilities, but the state doesn't require us to have that. We just thought it was a good idea. And so we will be adding, like I said, the substation and transmission lines, both to the map, and then again, in responding to state rules, there are tables, and I've given you the tables in your packet. I thought I brought a copy of it here. Tables that look like this that also have those same projects listed. There is a project number in the left-hand column that corresponds to the icons that are on the map. But tonight we're adding outfalls, we're adding transmission lines, we're relocating a substation. So I'm going to move through this very quickly. I don't mean to sound condescending or anything. I'm just trying to be sensitive to new commissioners who I don't think have dealt with this before. But we'll go through kind of a PFSP, Public Facilities and Services Plan 101 real quick, and then we'll look specifically at what's being proposed. And I've got some pictures of, you know, what does an outfall look like? What kind of transmission towers or poles are we talking about? That kind of thing. What is a PFSP? In brief, it's a planning document that guides the short and long-term development of key urban services. There's some additional language that comes out of the state goals. It's something required by law in the ORS. Any community that has a population of 2,500 or more has to produce one of these things. As I mentioned before, the PFSP is a subset of the Metro Plan. There are other documents that we have that are also adopted as refinement plans or functional plans of the Metro Plan. These are just some of the ones from Springfield. There's a Natural Resources Study, Lake Gateway Refinement Plan, Glenwood Refinement Plan. There are a number of them that supplement and give up close detail to the Metro Plan, which is that overarching general comprehensive plan. So what's in a public facility plan? And we get direction from the state Oregon administrative rules on that. This public facility plan has to have an inventory and assessment of existing infrastructure and services. That's part of this. We're not changing that, but that's part of the baseline that's established when you write the plan. And you have to identify significant public facility systems. We'll come back to what is a significant public facility system in a minute. It contains a list of significant public facilities that those tables are those lists. We are changing the list. We have to have a rough cost estimate of each of those new facilities. That's part of one of the tables that we'll be looking at tonight. And then we need a map, a written description of each of the facilities. We'll be amending the map. There are policy statements in the PFSP that talk about how we will serve new growth with urban services. We're not changing any of the policy statements. We're just adding new infrastructure facilities. This plan is supposed to have an estimate of when these new facilities will be built and a discussion of existing funding or funding mechanisms for finance. The items that we will be looking at, again, do we have an estimate of when things will be built? Well, yeah, on table 18, we have a map that talks about when these things will be built. We have the list of on those tables. And so we're adopting those things that we need to update the PFSP. We've talked already about the proposed amendments, three outfalls, relocating a substation and adding transmission lines that will connect the substation to Goshen and to the Laura Street substation. Coinciding with those changes on the map, we will be adding projects to the lists found on tables 6 and 8 and 18. Those tables include the project name, the approximate date when it will be built, approximate cost, all again consistent with requirements of state law. These projects are all within Glenwood. It's likely that in the next year you will see additional amendments to this document that are specific to Springfield inside our city limits. But we really just wanted to cross this bridge and again towards this idea of trying to get Glenwood ready for development. What is an outfall? This is literally a pipe coming out of the side of a hill. It happens to be a stormwater outfall for a 20-acre development off of Jasper Road. Literally, the stormwater that runs into the drains along the sides of your street, that gets collected into a pipe, and it comes down and drains out through this outfall. In this case, it drains into a slough, a swale. This here's the outfall. It's hard to see here, but there's a depression. And this outfall is located about 50 yards from this pipe here. In the rainy season, that slough will fill up and kind of pond, and there's some value in having a swale and the standing water. There's microbes and stuff that eat some of the bad things that are in that street water. Sediment settles out, and then that water then will drain direct to the Jasper Slough. So it comes in off the street through this pipe, It's in a slough for a little while, and as the elevation of the water rises, it flows out and through into the Jasper Slough. So it's a treatment facility, it's natural treatment. And this just is one type of outfall. In older parts of the city, you'll see pipes that come right from the street and just shoot right into the river. We're trying to go back and replace those, but it's likely the kind of outfalls that will be in Glenwood will be like this one here, where there'll be a pipe end, but there'll be some kind of pretreatment, a swale or something that will do one final treatment before being released into the river, in this case the Willamette. These outfalls are generally located at the end of a street. This is 41st Street. I'm standing right at the head of this outfall looking up the street. Public Works likes to have these come. Their stormwater facilities, you see the manhole. The pipe for this manhole is in the street. It's not running through people's yards and that kind of thing. They want these outfalls to be close to the end of a street or to a parking lot or something so they can get their equipment right up close to and reach over and grab stuff that looks like this needs to be cleaned out a little bit. But the idea is to keep those outfalls clear of debris and so on. So that's what an outfall looks like. The outfalls that are proposed in Glenwood, again, this map is general. You can tell by the scale and so on. But we will work with property owners in making a specific location so that if I've got 20 acres of vacant land and I want to develop it, we're going to put the storm wall, the outfall at a place that lines up with one of your planned streets and or a parking lot associated with one of the buildings you want to build. And that is best for us, the city, because we have access then to that facility. It's in our interest, frankly, as a city, to avoid impacting developable land. We don't want to waste developable land by putting an outfall someplace where we end up cutting up people's property and, you know, creating a situation where they lose the ability to develop part of their land. This outfall facility, even with the swale, I walked it off, it's less than 75 feet wide, and that includes the end of the pipe, the width of the swale, and the pipe on the receiving pipe that dumps into the Jasper Slough. This kind of arrangement can fit within the 75-foot setback that is already required along the Willamette River. It's something specifically allowed between development and the river. And so we don't anticipate these particular facilities as having an impact that would cause people to lose development, you know, on their land. Transmission lines. We're not talking about the big giant BPA transmission towers. We processed a subdivision about a year ago that has BPA lines going through it. It's a 300-foot wide easement. We're not talking about that. These are transmission lines. It happens, this one here, Greg, is right across the street, or close to across the street from the school administration building on Mill. The plan is to, as I said, connect the Glenwood substation by running transmission lines on poles like this down Henderson Street to the railroad that goes east-west through Glenwood, follow the railroad right away, cross the river, come into Springfield, and then go up Mill Street and across 126 to the Laura Street Station.
Would the crossing be near the boat launch where there's also another existing crossing?
If you can picture the rail crossing. Again, the nature of this is conceptual and general.
Not even close.
But it's up close to the boat?
It's not even close.
Okay.
Not forever.
Okay. So the idea in using the train right away was to try to avoid impacting private land. If for some reason the right away doesn't work out, again, what SUB does, if you notice, they run those transmission lines along the streets in the right-of-way, close to the street. They don't run these through the middle of people's property, you know, dividing and segregating their property. They try and follow right-of-ways, in this case, the railroad's what's proposed, or Henderson. And this is what those towers will look like. They're not going to be the big, giant things that you see for BPA. Substation's a substation. You can't make them very pretty. This happens to be the Laura Street Station. This is going to be in Glenwood, located out close to I-5. If you can picture where the old Pape Cat is now Peterson Machine. I think it's been that for a long time. But there were two large vacant lots associated with the Peterson Machine, and SUB has purchased both of those. And they will locate the substation on one of those. Being close to I-5, they can run the transmission lines south in the I-5 right away to connect to the Goshen facility. And then again, they'll go from that land next to Pape over to Henderson, which is about a block away, and then down Henderson about four blocks, I guess, to the railroad. And then, in theory, along the railroad, cross the river, connect first to 2nd Street, I think it is, and then go north to Mill Street and up. Just to not to bore you, but to recap, these maps are general. When it gets down to design, engineering, there will be additional hearings and additional processing of permits to build these facilities. There'll be additional public input, but we're trying to meet the requirements of law to get these things on the map, on the project lists, so that if something comes in the door, we've got this nailed down.
You produce a lot of maps. These two maps are probably the worst I've seen in a long time as far as getting an idea where things are going to go.
Oh, no doubt. And it's the parent maps themselves, 11 by 17 showing all of Eugene Springfield. Yeah, it's okay. Just what we're dealing with. As part of this transition and separation, I think at some point we will have our own map showing public facilities and a different kind of scaling system. I think we'll still need to have some kind of joint public facilities document because we share wastewater, mm-hmm. we share transportation. There's a number of things where it just makes sense for Eugene and Springfield to collaborate and be on the same page, literally. But these maps aren't very helpful. They meet the intent of law, but don't want to go on into it, but they're outdated. It's just we've got to live with what we got now, and we'll change them, I think, as we move forward. There's the three water, the outfalls. This one here is close to Roy Rabbit's Pizza. This one here is adjacent to the railroad right-of-way where it crosses the river, so it's just a little bit south of the street bridges that come into Springfield. And this is down farther on Wildish property, on land that you evaluated when we did the Greenway setback.
There's the existing swale that runs along the railroad tracks. There were bring ins. We're bring recycling in.
Oh, yeah.
Swale there. Is this going to be sort of an extension of that?
I'm not sure that SUB has even had an engineer out there walking.
This would be SUB, this would be the outfall structure.
Oh, the outfall. The outfall would be located wherever it works on the Seavers property. The transmission line would be in the right of way, but Seavers have forget if it's 6 or 7 acres. It's riverfront, nice, it's vacant. As they lay out the plan for their development, we'll pick one of their streets. If something comes along in advance of them, we'll find what would be the least disruptive location for a sewer main, a stormwater main to be located. Yeah. Again, these outfalls are shown on table 6, which is the map. These numbers coincide to the numbers that are on the map. To table 18, again, a listing of the outfalls. Here's the cost estimate. Here's the time of completion, again, in conformance with the law. We're relocating the substation from near the McVeigh Highway over to near I-5. And then this jagged line here is a rough representation of the transmission lines. Transmission lines added to the electrical plant improvements. So what is a significant project? What is it that has to be shown on here? I mentioned earlier, we don't show every pipe and wire that it's part of our infrastructure system. Through the Metro Plan, the definition of what significant project is that for water transmission lines in Springfield, it's pipes larger than 12 inches or 12 inches or larger. For wastewater, we need to list pump stations and wastewater lines that are 24 inches or larger. Stormwater, we need to list drainage channel improvements, piping systems that are 36 inches or larger, and just the focus on outfalls. We need to show outfalls on the map. Projects that we identify in here are adopted as part of the Metro Plan. And it's something that's a little different about this particular document. Tonight, we are both doing a Metro Plan amendment and a refinement plan amendment. We're required by law to amend this, and in doing so, amend the Metro Plan. So there is Appendix A of the Metro Plan that has the maps and the project lists. Doesn't have all the verbiage about policy and this and that, but the maps and project lists are in there. Adoption, we mentioned already that it's from state law that says that the PFSP and supporting documents shall be adopted as part of the comprehensive plan as well as the refinement plan. So tonight we're doing both. Criteria for approval. We have criteria in our development code that says here's what you have to consider when you're amending the Metro Plan. Here's what you have to consider when you're amending a refinement plan. The criteria for these are almost identical. It happens that the refinement plan mentions conformance with state statutes. That's not mentioned by the Metro Plan amendment requirement. So instead of me doubling up your size of your report, we made findings based on conformance with the refinement plan, knowing that if we did this, we would cover this. And we made that statement in your report. If any of you feel uncomfortable with that, I can, anyway, it is what it is. But we checked with our trusty attorney over there, and she was okay with that, making findings of one that would cover the other. I hope you remember that. She has this blank look on her face. So what are those criteria tonight? Is this proposal consistent with the Metro Plan? Is it consistent with applicable state statutes and then statewide planning goals and administrative rules? So the findings in your report will quote or do quote state statute, Metro Plan statements and so on. And frankly, I think we're consistent. This is really kind of housekeeping. We have to go through the detail of this reporting, but we're just putting icons in a map that we think we want to do in the next 5 years to 20 years to get Glenwood ready. These maps are general. If it comes up that having a outfall on the Seaver property, for example, isn't the best place, we can move it 100 feet and not have to amend this map. We've got some flexibility when it comes down to actual design, but we're trying to show, generally speaking, where are these things going to be, and that we're fulfilling, you know, the requirement of the law on that. So I mentioned we were amending tables and maps. For the purpose of clarity, I blew up the section for Glenwood so you could see what we were doing, but what we're actually doing is amending an 11 by 17 map, which is at a scale that's hardly visible. But this is the existing PFSP map. That's the Glenwood map. You can barely see. They've got the outfalls here. Mm-hmm. Map 4 is planned electrical facilities. Here's the substation. Magic, we move it, and we show these dotted lines here for the proposed transmission lines. And that's it. Are there questions about what we're doing tonight? Again, we're making a recommendation to the council and to the planning commission, excuse me, to the Board of County Commissioners. This happens to be something that has to go to the commissioners as well, because Glenwood is both in and outside of the city limits. Again, in the coming year, when we go back and look at needed facilities inside of Springfield city limits, you will be making a recommendation just to the Springfield City Council. Questions? I want to point out, in your packets, there's a letter from the Seaver family. It was something that was posted too late to, or excuse me, I received it too late to get it into your packets, but it's a simple letter. They're expressing their opposition to having both outfalls and the prospect of transmission line interfering with their development and their property. I met, and Sub-Electric staff met with them yesterday to talk about their concerns. I think they feel better about this. I think they're envisioning, you know, a huge swath of their land being taken out of development. That's not going to be the case, but I encourage them to come tonight if they have issues and wanted to speak. But they're a wonderful family. They've been in Glenwood since the 1920s. They were talking about their great-grandma and grandpa having that land. But like any other property owner, they're concerned about, you know, their investment for the future. And it is in Springfield's interest to help them maximize their development potential, because that increases our tax base. We want good development. We don't want to willy-nilly cut up people's land. We want to work with people to site infrastructure in a logical way that makes sense. I've shown you that transmission lines generally follow rights of way. We don't cut across people's property. That hurts people, and it hurts us, because we don't have developable land.
And they, when and if they raise that concern, I assume that you'll speak to that and be able to perhaps show that, no, we're not really doing this.
Yeah, I'd like to stop this conversation. I think it's an appropriate conversation for, or I recommend that I submit,
sure,
save this conversation for the hearing and for the record. Because right now, although this is a public meeting, we haven't opened the record yet. And it's a good conversation to have, yeah, on the record.
Yeah. And so, she warned me about that. The planners, mm-hmm, just...
Yep.
So.
Thank you.
Yes, they do.
Good. Yes, they do.
We'll adjourn then and reconvene at 7 o'clock. Next door.
So it seems as if you, have a little bit of problem with your machine,
yeah,
getting things ready.
I just got some things, so I think that's